You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Hello, and welcome to the UCB Long-Form Conversations podcast, being recorded live at the Podcast Lounge at the 18th Del Close Marathon in New York. Yeah.
Those are all facts.
Those are all correct?
All facts.
We've got a live studio audience for this episode, and this is a palate cleanser episode. This is not part of the La Ronde format of interviews. Yeah. For those of you who are regular listeners to the Long Form Conversations podcast, normally somebody interviews somebody, and then on the next episode, the guest becomes the host. We're throwing that all out the window. We're talking about the diversity program at the UCB Training Center. Oh, my name's Eric Tenoy. I should have said that at the beginning. I'm Eric Tenoy. I'm the school manager for the New York Training Center. I also teach and perform improv with Curfew and write for a digital team. And my guests are Alex Song.
Hi, everybody.
And Lou Gonzalez.
Hi.
And Ray Cordova.
Hola.
Oh,
there we go.
Diversity. Diversity in language.
That's right. That's the most Spanish I know.
Do you want to introduce yourselves, or you don't have to? Alex has already been a guest on the podcast, right?
A couple episodes, back. So is Lou.
Lou also? Okay, great.
So that means Ray, introduce yourself. cool. I'm Ray Cordova. I am on the UCB Herald team Foxhole. And a former improv team, now self-made sketch team, Astronomy Club.
Mm-hmm. Big fan of Astronomy Club.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Alex. Yeah.
And you two should also introduce, in case people haven't immediately paused this episode to go see your episode.
To go back and listen to 45 more minutes.
Yeah, man, I'm Lou. Lou Gonzalez. I'm a performer at the UCB Theater. House team, Herald team, Iggins. I'm also a writer and director. Shoot, like, sketch videos and stuff like that.
And co-host of The Lottery.
Oh, that's right. Mm. I co-host a show with Eric called The Lottery.
Yes, where we randomly select students and they perform a Herald.
That's right, and we have a show coming up.
Yes.
But
except
like by
not
the time
when
this releases.
This. Yeah, you haven't.
But like maybe like if someone listens to it at a certain point in time, we would be right that the show is.
Yeah, at some point then, hopefully.
Yeah.
Unless this week's is the last time we ever do it. There'll be one eventually.
Are you trying to tell me something? Or
okay. We'll talk after the show.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so The Lottery. Okay, I'm Alex Song. I'm on the Lloyd team Barrymore.
What?
Also perform with the Terry Withers Mysteries and co-host the Wednesday Improv Jam and the Lady Jam. And I recently joined Torco.
Yeah.
For the next season.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
A lot of Torco heads.
I got the biggest applause so far.
That's a big one.
They
well deserved.
Raise your hand in the audience if you've seen a Torco show.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, not with me on it. I didn't start till August. So.
They prefer the classic Torco lineup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't know about this new stuff.
No, I hung out with classic Torco recently. They all seem much cooler than me. So.
I'm sure that's not true.
Alex, you're super cool.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for all this affirmation, guys. Should we move forward?
Yes, great.
I'd rather not. Alex, you're so cool. No, I'm kidding.
I got to say, you got a lot to prove.
Okay.
Ooh.
You got a lot to prove.
I mean, that's the kind of talk I'm more used to.
Yeah. I just want to get you ready, because you're going to be out there. You're going to be out there in the United States.
No pressure.
The wild, okay?
I think
doing
mostly
improv.
Like cities.
Improv for people who have never seen improv before. They're just in college. They're impressionable a lot of times.
You know, I might step down before I begin.
Those wild, crazy universities.
So I was going to talk about the UCB Training Center Diversity Program, and feel free to jump in with questions, stories, experiences.
I'm going to jump in and do a last-minute plug. We're talking about diversity in the program. We should mention the Diversity Jam.
Oh, yes.
Which Astronomy Club hosts every last Sunday at the UCB East, 3:30 to 5:30 p.m.
Correct. Yes, that's every the last Sunday of every month, unless there's like a holiday that weekend.
Something and then it's special, rearrange it, and you'll find out if you're on the mailing list.
Again, like if they hear it at a certain time, it could be during when there's a holiday.
Yes.
And so just be abreast and be ready. Just be present in the world that you're existing in.
Just like always check the calendar. It's really easy. You can
just
find
come
it.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday at 3:30. I will say it's one of my favorite jams. There's a bunch of jams at the theater. Diversity Jam has always been one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you. Also, Alex is and Lou are both, they help out. They co-host often. So thank you for that.
Jambassadors.
Jambassadors, we call them. Jambassadors.
So there's the improv jam is part of the program. So if you're taking class and you want to get experience or you just want to get on stage again, you can go to the Improv Jam. Scholarships and fellowships, that's, I think, a big thing people always ask about. So I was going to talk about that a little. And feel free to jump in with questions or comments. So twice a year we give out in New York, 170 people get scholarships, and that covers two free classes. And the applications for those are in the summer, June/July, and then winter, December/January. So that's a great program. And we just added something called fellowships, which are like scholarships, except you don't get the free classes. But you get to sign up for classes as if you have a scholarship, which is an easier way to sign up for classes.
It's very difficult to sign in up to classes now because of there's so many students and a limited number.
Right.
So that still is a benefit.
Great advantage. Somebody just asked at, I forget, it was at a meeting or something, they were like, I would love to get a scholarship to get into classes, but I actually don't need the financial element.
Oh. So like,
great, we'll set something up for you.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
So if you're listening to this and you want to apply, visit our website, and you can find out more details about that. Do any of you want to talk about scholarships, classes?
Yeah, I received a diversity scholarship when I was first starting out. And then the second time around, I didn't get one. So,
so you paid for it.
Yeah, okay. I've given UCB a lot of money, but they, you know, they've given me a whole lot more. So
that's ballpark it. How much money have you spent on UCB?
I don't like at least 1,000 per year.
Hard numbers.
At least 1,000 per year, even after getting on house teams.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Worth it though.
But diversity scholarship, you don't have to.
You don't have
how
to.
Did
do that.
How did you actually find out about the diversity scholarship?
I think around the time I was starting out, I think this still happens, right? There were diversity meetups.
Yes, they're not as frequent, not I think, now frequent. That we have the jam every month.
Yeah, I forgot how I found out about that. It might have just been like a poster around the training center, like a sign or something. But they used to have like a meetup and also a little bit of a like jam improv workshop after. So I went to one of those, met a couple people that I, you know, still keep in touch with, are still around. I think I found out about the scholarship that way.
Yeah, and to go back to the Improv Jam, that's sort of taken the place a little bit of the meetups. We still do some forums and meetups occasionally, but because it's at the UCB East and there's a bar that people can hang out in afterwards, if you want to meet people, even if you don't want to do improv, you can go to the jam and
yeah, people come a lot. I think there's this thing. There are people who are just starting, and they're in their head about performing at a jam. You can just come to hang out. There are so many people who come and watch, and we just have drinks and talk at the bar. You don't have to perform. You can just come and hang out.
Yeah. And also, to point out, I think you can, for people who are already taking classes, you can get a scholarship even if you're already taking classes. It's not just for people who have never taken a class before.
Yes. Also, I'm going to point out, I've run across people who want to apply for the diversity scholarship, but they don't think they deserve it. And I'm just like, well, if you're diverse, apply for it and let the program make that decision. You don't have to not apply. Like, oh, man, I'm so broke, I want to take a class, but I don't know. I don't think I deserve one. And I'm like, well, you fit the qualification, so let them decide if you deserve it or not.
Take advantage of it all.
Free classes.
Yes.
Do it.
Dude, man. Like, there's already so much stuff that, like, you have to deal with of being someone who's different. I'm going to take every and all opportunity. Hell yeah, affirmative action. Give me more. Yes. We're dealing with at least a couple of centuries worth of...
I'm going to say back pay.
I mean, you could say it, but, like, there's some shit. And I'm just like, yeah, take any and all opportunity. Like, people are still fighting it. Like, I think just recently someone was fighting, went to the Supreme Court recently and they turned it down for affirmative action. They were like, I feel like I'm not getting an opportunity because of affirmative action. And it was a young white
university,
person.
It was like Texas?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. Interesting. Cool. Thank you, Supreme Court. Why did this go all the way to the Supreme Court? Cool.
Right.
Yeah. And I should point out, so if you were saying, Ray, some people feel like they shouldn't apply.
Yes.
You should apply. And it's also, I want to point out, not at this point, it's not like a talent-based scholarship.
Right.
So even if you think you're awful at improv,
yes,
you could still get a scholarship. It's not like, oh, you're going to be a star someday, here's a free class.
Yeah.
Because we want the classes to be more diverse, which includes people who aren't interested in being on TV ever.
Exactly.
And also, like, most people starting out improv are not good at it.
No.
Yeah.
So, like, so like chances are you're going to be with a group of other terrible improvisers, and you're going to be terrible together, and that'll be a fun experience. I find one-on-ones are always the most fun because there's, like, no, like, everyone's just like, what am I doing?
Yeah, yeah. You just get some stage time, and it's really exciting.
But I also find one-on-ones are, like, the most fun. Like, I've done one-on-ones and two-on-ones, and the one-on-ones are sometimes way better than two-on-ones because the one-on-ones are like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't care. Fun, fun, fun. And they just follow the first thought. They go with their instincts. And then 201, you're like, oh, this is a science.
Yeah, 201, you're trying to play games.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wait, can I ask what defines or what would qualify as diverse at our theater?
Yes. Well, for the scholarship specifically,
sure.
Race, ethnicity, LGBTQ spectrum, people with disabilities, age. So if you are, at this point, if you're over 40, you're considered an older student.
Mm. A wiser student.
Yes.
It
used to be 35, but once I was older than 35, I moved the age.
So, seems very personal.
Because you were like, I'm still connecting at 35.
Yeah, I'm still having fun.
I feel I can do it. With what's going on at 35.
If I keep this job and stay here for like 30 years, you'll have to be like 70 to qualify. I'm like, no, I don't want to. But yes, age and then veterans. So any of those categories, you can apply for a scholarship. There are also other types of diversity that maybe aren't included in there.
Apply and say why you think you're diverse.
Yeah. Yes. That was a good question.
Yeah, very good question. I started taking classes in 2009, and correct me if I'm wrong, we didn't have a diversity program yet in the beginning of 2009.
Correct. It started March 2009.
Started March, and I just got an email one day, I think from Eric, and it was like, oh, you've been selected for this scholarship program, come in for a meeting. And I, instead of just being like, yes, thank you, I was like, I didn't apply. And he was like, no. He was like, your teacher submitted you. And that was pretty cool. My 101, Betsy Stover, shout out. She submitted me for the program scholarship, and I gladly took it, went to the interview. And at the time, I think there was 20 of us. There was only 20 people that were eligible. And they gave 16 of us at the time, I think it was 4 or 5 credits. And it was 16 of us. And I think at the time, I was already in 301. So I used the rest for the other classes and then different workshops and all that stuff. So it's pretty awesome to be part of that first generation.
Yes, the program has changed since then, but it was
a lot different now.
It was almost like invited to apply in that, and then you got 4 free classes.
Yes.
And also, I think I called you on the phone.
Yes,
to let
a phone
you know.
Interview, or you called on the
no,
phone?
No, to let you know that you got it.
Oh, let me know that I got it.
Yeah,
yes,
which I no longer do because I can't make 170.
No, there's
phone
a lot
calls.
Of people applying now.
But I remember, I think you were like, in the bathroom, possibly. I remember I like talked to somebody, and they're like, "Oh, let me get him." And then like, it was like a minute long gap while I was waiting for you to come. To
I
phone.
Don't recall that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that were me.
You know, like real talk. People use the bathroom.
People
and they keep their phones with them in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. My dad exclusively. No, this is serious. When he likes trying to have a private conversation, he's like, "Oh," and he just goes to the bathroom, and just because that's the only place of solace that he has.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done that.
Do you, have you ever, that's just something I'll do is I'll go into the bathroom and then I will also use the bathroom while I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
And just try to do it quietly so they don't know
sure.
that that's what I'm doing.
Or you wait for them to talk, you hit mute on your phone and then you can flush.
Yep.
I just leave it in there till the end of the phone call and then flush it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's, you know what, that's...
Disgusting?
No, I would say that's more polite.
Well, they don't know they're on mute. They're talking, you hit mute. You can still hear them. They just can't hear the toilet flush.
Yeah. I was just saying, I exclusively only do this with when I'm talking to my parents.
Anyone.
Okay.
I think that's the only people I talk to on the phone, I guess, at length.
Well, I've had, like, business phone calls, like, with my pants down, but they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know.
Is that something that you need when you're in the middle of a business call? You're like, give me a second. And you just take your pants down. It's like,
know,
all right, now I'm ready for brass tacks.
It's like a power move. It makes
it's a power move. It was born out of necessity, but now I need it. I have to have my pants down.
It's almost a crutch.
Yeah.
Like you're in the middle of public, you're like, damn it. And then you just
oh, let me call you back.
Off. Yeah.
Anyone have any other questions? Or I mean, I had another bathroom story, and then I was like, I don't need to tell another bathroom story.
I guess I'll just go off the fact that, and I've mentioned this before, But yeah, I want to applaud the diversity here at UCB. Things have changed so much since 2009, and I can only imagine before that. I remember there was a time where like you kind of knew all the other diverse people, but now I'm like, oh, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? It's like just more and more people are flooding it, yeah. And that's not just like everyone, people of color, older people, LGBTQ. I'm just seeing so much more diversity now than ever.
I think things are a lot, they're significantly better.
Yes.
So much better.
Yeah.
And also I want to point out that like, better doesn't mean like we're done. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't mean like job done, we did it, we're diverse.
No, I want dominance. I want to the point where I see no white people.
Yeah.
Well, that's good luck.
Okay.
Maybe the wrong place for you.
I mean, the demographics of America are working in your favor to get to that point.
If you're still here like in 40 years, you may have a shot.
Maybe.
Okay.
That's the game. That's the game I'm trying to play. I'm trying to get rid of these white people.
Nice.
You know what I do appreciate, though, is when I was first starting, I felt very competitive to anyone who matched my specific demographic.
I felt
like it could only be one of us. And I'm very grateful that, you know, maybe a lot of that was in my head, but like it definitely felt like there's not... much representation, so maybe there's like a quota or something. Now it just feels like, I can be friends with those people.
You're not competing.
So yeah. when you first started out and you saw another Asian person, you were like, competition?
If they were good.
Okay.
Did it matter if they were male or female, or like you saw a female Asian?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of specific. Yeah, I don't know. I guess male or female.
Okay.
I know that there was one performer, like when I was coming up, I was always confused with this other performer who was also Hispanic. And like that's always weird where you're like, oh, but there's only two of us. Like you should be able to make like that discernibility, like maybe a little. But I never looked at it as competition, more of like a nuisance. Mm-hmm. Like, oh,
did you say a nuisance?
Yeah, it was kind of a nuisance.
Did it bother you?
Not that the other person existed, but the fact that like, oh, you're just confusing me with just another person of color. Mm. That seems borderline racist.
I don't, yeah.
But like, you know, you try to give people the benefit of the doubt because like, I always play, that's always like in your Rolodex. When something happens to you that's like sort of weird, you're like the first one is like racist, and you're like, nah, okay, probably not. Okay, what else is it? Homophobic? probably not.
I think people just don't care, and not like in a bad way, although it is still kind of bad. I think people are just like, they just take a shot. They roll the dice. Well, it's either Lou or Will. Screw it. Hey, Lou. You know what I'm saying?
Facebook's racist. Facebook.
Oh, you mean like the face identifying
thing?
Yeah,
because I, speaking of Will, Will messaged me and I was like, check this out. And a picture of Will was automatically like put as me.
We should point out Will Martinez, not Will Hines.
It did take me a second.
No, I'm saying Will Hines. Me and Will, very similar in complexion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very similar playing style too.
Very, very similar.
Yeah.
But yeah, Will Martinez, okay. Wonderful performer in Dr. Brothers. Also does a lot of independent shows. He's really great.
Mm-hmm. On that note, I will say that till this day, I am often mistaken for Big Rich and vice versa.
Oh.
People go through Big Rich all the time. Like, hey man, great Harold show, and he's like, thanks. I think at this point we both have given up. And if they're like, hey Rich, what's up? I'm like, hey man, what's up? Rich is a great guy.
Yeah. Rich is a great guy.
I can be rich.
I would always get mixed up with some student who would take notes at shows, and I'd be like, no, I don't do that.
Yeah. Now, do you think it was another Asian student, or do you think it was like a general racism of like, you're Asian, you must be taking notes all the time.
Man.
I don't know. Anyone's guess.
I was going to say, following off on that of like, you know, when you're like, oh, I'm the only, like, I used to always look at Achilles and be like, I'm another part Asian guy. He's going to get all my work,
right.
All my job.
Yeah.
But one thing that I've been talking about this weekend that's been cool, especially I think this year we have the like Pride t-shirts, is like there is within the like diversity group, there's enough people now that like you can have almost like side diversity groups.
Huh.
Like, yeah. You know, it used to be like diversity program encompassed everything. And it was just like, we would all fit in one room, and we still, like, it still encompasses everyone. It's still right, inclusive. Right, right. But, like, there's enough people now to be like, oh, we also want to, like, the XYZ jam is, like,
yeah,
in addition to the diversity jam.
Yep, yep.
You know? I just came from the queer collective.
Yeah, I was wondering about
it was,
that.
It was wonderful. Devin Ritchie runs it. It's absolutely great. It was just a bunch of queer students and performers just talking, and it was a really wonderful... I'm wearing my Pride shirt. I'm wearing a Bob the Drag Queen shirt. It's a hot shirt, guys.
Very nice shirt, by the way.
It's colorful, but it doesn't breathe, and that's the problem.
That sucks.
I wish you guys could see this shirt.
It's a very nice shirt.
I'll post it.
Yeah.
UCB should post it, because it's a great shirt.
A lot of fuchsia, purple. We got a neon green, yellow.
Yeah.
It's all over there.
Yeah. But, Jeff Hiller was saying, like, I think the first year that he was doing DCM, he wanted to put together... like a gay group, and then there was like not enough people, and now there's so many that you can like even like,
oh yeah,
you can choose to exclude people. You can go, I just want these four good people.
Yeah, I used to like not that long ago try to cast just in my head like an all lesbian Herald team, and I couldn't think of eight.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if this was planned, but you have an Asian person, a Latino person, an African American person. And we're also all LGBTQ.
Wow, did you plan this?
I did not plan that.
I think
that.
You planned this, Eric.
We got multiple boxes checked over here.
Okay.
Can we get two scholarships if we fit more than one category?
I want to reapply for a scholarship is what I'm
giving
saying.
Giving out scholarships based on how many boxes you fill in there.
Yeah. Can't waste on 40.
Eric, I've always wanted to ask you this, so I might as well on air. do people read, you read the diversity questionnaires? That you fill out at the end of a class?
Oh, those are occasionally, although they've been not processed in a while.
Okay.
We had a project where somebody was entering them into...
Okay.
Now, this is just the, like, if you have never taken a class at the end, you used to fill out a form that was like,
it doesn't happen anymore.
We stopped doing that because the backlog of unentered forms was so high.
Well, my question is, I used to, before, I struggled to come out while I was taking classes, core classes at UCB. And so I used to check off bisexual, never heterosexual, whatever the word is. But I started checking off other and just writing in, still figuring it out. And I always wondered if anyone kept up with my progress on that.
There's like we've noticed that there's a specific connection of percentage of Asians that are changing, altering their sex, they're fluctuating. I wonder if we should.
That's also. I mean, actually, like we probably thought there was an increase, and there wasn't. It was just you switching what you were writing.
And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with exploring.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Pride weekend. It's DCM weekend. Things are getting explored.
Okay. Now, people.
Okay.
I would say probably what happened. An intern looked at that form and was like, I don't know what to do with this, and like put it at the bottom of the stack.
Oh, okay. Just, like, all right. Never entered. It's good to know. I took pictures of them. I saved them for myself.
I think on that note, I also want to point out how how cool the theater is in general for forming friendships and bonds. I also struggled with my sexuality when I first started taking classes and pretty much came out to people in the community and felt welcomed and included and all that stuff. I think this is a great place to find yourself in general, besides just your comedic voice, but just who you are in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially like through improv, like finding your identity as an improviser, because you're the only one that's up there that's controlling what's happening for your character. And like so much about that journey through improv is like, oh, I need to be assured of myself. I need to feel good about who I am if I'm going to go out on stage and help anything that's going on out there. So I think improv is also really good about that as well.
I would have mentioned some other programs that we have. I don't know if any of you were involved in them. If you were, chime in. We have a partnership with the Department of Education in New York. Have any of you worked with
them? Yes.
Where we schools start up improv teams at their school. And where were you?
He just left. There was a young man here. I forget his name. And he was part of the All-Star Project last year. And
nice.
I sat in or I watched over his 401 show. And I workshopped him last summer in the project, in our All-Star project, and now he just graduated 401.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's awesome. He just was here.
Michael? Michael what?
Michael Poole. Shout out Michael Poole.
Shout out to Michael Poole.
He did it, man. He went all the way from the project to all the way to 401.
That's
All-Star
great.
Project. Not the projects. Is that very clear?
I came from the projects. So you can say that about me.
Yeah. I can't say that about you.
But not my. He's, you know, he's probably very affluent.
But also, he's nothing's wrong with being from the projects. Yeah, yeah, just don't want to mislabel someone that way.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Then that's a separate program. So the one is through the Department of Education, which you have to. Your school has to apply. So if you have a teacher, but I guess if you teach at a public school in New York and you're interested, look for that email from the school system. That's like, if you want to do this, and we're now up to 14 schools did it this year.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, there was. What's the feedback on that from the schools? I'm interested because I just did it, like, you know, coach it and then I walk away.
Yeah, I think they love it. I mean, most of the schools do it again the next year.
Yeah.
And so I assume they all are really enjoying it.
Yeah, when I first did it, I did it at the Juan Campos Junior High School in Brooklyn. I think it's in Bushwick. And when day one, like, I would say, like, half the class loved it, and the other half of the class was not having it. They were, like, in the back on their phone, just not caring. But then
they're also teenagers.
They're teenagers, so you have to keep that in mind. But the ones who liked it, they were into it. And I found out that some of them had done the program previously, and one of them was even using it for an audition piece to get into college. Like, she used it to get into college, and it worked. And she got it from the program previously. Cool. So it's really helping, which is awesome.
It's really great. I did... I got a school in the Bronx, which is where I'm from, and I found out that the school that I was coaching across the street was the hospital that my mother was born.
Oh, wow.
Nuts.
That's crazy.
It was really wonderful to, like, go to the Bronx and just, like, speak to these kids because, like, I'm from there too and just connect to them on that level because I never have encountered that. You know, at UCB, only because it's just not known. The only way I found out about UCB was because I was in Times Square and someone handed me a flyer.
Oh,
that's
wow.
how I found out about it. So, like, to actually go to the Bronx with these kids and then, like, to also then see them kill on stage.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
When you were talking before about, like, 101 versus 201 shows, like, the freedom you have, the high school shows are so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And oftentimes I'm like, this person's better at improv than me.
They're better.
I've been doing this probably before they were born, but, like, they're just so good at it.
Also, another thing, because they're so young, they'll bring up references and the audience will go insane.
Yep.
But, like, all the coaches are like,
what's happening? I don't know what
it is. Why are they laughing?
I hope that wasn't, like, an offensive mean thing they just said.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's why you take them aside. It's like, dude, was that offensive?
Yeah.
Those kids are younger than DCM.
Oh, wow.
Oh, crap.
Yeah,
that's
DCM
insane.
DCM is 18 years old. They might have, they could have been conceived at the first DCM.
They could have.
But by happenstance.
Yeah, not, I mean.
Like their parents were an improviser. They're like, oh, what's going on here? And then they're just like, well, you know what? Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
Next year, you should try and find people that conceived a child at DCM, different comedians.
Yeah, I'm sure the numbers are growing.
You could find, like, 8 kids that are 19 next year and have them just do a set. Like, we were created at DCM1. I'd watch that show.
Oh, you know what? And the kids would love to participate in that.
They would love
that. They wouldn't have any problems at all.
Yeah.
They're like, they're like, what? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right here on the stage, your parents did it. Now you're going to perform.
Yeah. And their parents are in all of the front row watching.
Yeah. You better be good at this. And then the All-Star Project is another group that we work with where they have a summer arts program.
Yep.
And we taught workshops at that summer arts program. And then we also did a 101 class once a year for people who are in the from the projects. With the All-Star Project. And there's something else I was going to mention that I forgot about. The Improv for Teens class. We have a general Improv for Teens class that we offer that is free if you are receiving free or reduced price school meals in the New York City area.
That's awesome.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a teenager,
you know a teen.
Yeah, you might know. If you listen to this podcast
and you
hang out with a lot of teenagers.
Let me tell you, if you're out in New York City and you see a teen, let them know.
Yeah.
If you see a teen in Times Square.
We also have a van that we drive around with, and we're hey, kids.
Can I say, I love that van.
I just wait outside of random schools and wait till 3 o'clock. And I'm like, hey, come with me to this school.
Yeah.
It's weird.
No. It's not weird.
You gotta
keep
doing
it.
They look at me like I'm weird, but it's good intentions.
Yeah. You know what? That's curiosity.
They're
curious.
Oh, okay.
They want to learn.
We're walking a thin line right now.
But yeah, it is great. And that the DOE program, we've gotten into all 5 boroughs, which is cool. Even
awesome.
Staten Island.
Yeah, that was a tough nut to crack, but we made it out there.
Yeah, I wish this was around when I was in school. Like Lou, I didn't know what UCB was at all. I found out super late. I didn't even know improv was its own art form. I just thought it was like an acting warm-up. I didn't know people did it in general. And I actually found out about UCB through, I was a huge Derek Comedy fan, and I watched their YouTube videos, and I was like, oh man, these guys are cool. Where'd they meet at? And then they met at NYU, but then I saw they did shows at UCB, and I actually went to go see them. And then in the end, they were like, if you want to take classes, there's pamphlets in the front. And that was it. I was hooked ever since.
Ooh. This is an old man question. Did you remember how you found Derek Comedy? Like,
YouTube was just starting up. Okay, YouTube was not huge. And someone was like, you have to see these guys. My friend John, he was like, you have to see these guys. They just kind of make up stuff like Saturday Night Live or Mad TV, but they just do it on their own. And to me, I was like, what channel is that? He's like, no, it's on YouTube. I was like, well, how do they do it? He's like, I guess they get their own cameras and just film it. And like, to me, that just felt impossible. I was like, why don't we do that? Then I watched the video, and that was it. Yeah.
You know what's crazy, Ray?
What is crazy, Lou?
Is that like... You're essentially that for people now. Like, people see Astronomy Club, they're like, hot damn.
That's
the expression they universally use. They all say hot damn.
Everyone says
hot damn. And they see you guys and they're like, oh, like, do you know how many kids are probably taking classes because of you? That's crazy.
I actually don't think about that, but it's a very cool thought. By the way, if you're listening, you don't know what Astronomy Club is.
You better find out.
You better find out. You should know already. We were a former UCB Lloyd team, and I think we were the first all-brown people team. I'm going to say that. I think it's fine to say that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I will not say... I used to say we were the first diverse team. That's not true, because I think that would be Detroit. It was all ladies.
It was all, yes. All
so I think they would get credit as the first diverse team.
Yeah.
We were the first all brown people team, mixed gender. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
And you guys had a long running sketch show as well.
And we also have a long running sketch show, which if you hear this before August, will they hear this before? If you're in LA, we're going to be at UCB LA doing sketch show, Journey Through Black History, August 18th through the 23rd. There are two sketch shows and an improv show in that block. At both UCB LA
theaters.
That's
great. I've been meaning to see you guys. Maybe I'll...
Come to LA.
Come to LA.
And if you're not in LA, is it online anywhere that they can watch or not?
I don't think the show itself is online. There's plenty of Astronomy Club improv stuff online, but we have plans to film the LA one, so it should be online soon.
Oh, great.
Great show. It really is a great show.
Yeah.
I've seen it 3 times.
Wow, thank you.
Hot damn.
I only saw it once.
You saw it. Thank you.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I'm doing better than that.
You're coming to LA.
I'm coming to LA. I'm just going for that show.
I'll get you in for free, so you can put that
thank
money towards
you for
your
the
plane ticket.
Yeah, I'll just pay for the plane ticket.
What you just brought up, Lou, was interesting also, that like that you become the person who was like
that is crazy.
The person you saw, and you're like, oh, like now you're doing that for somebody else.
That's weird.
Hopefully,
cool.
You know, maybe not. Maybe
everyone
watching.
Who comes up to me, I say, "Don't do this."
Oh,
no, I'm a.
That's
I
a fun take.
That's because it's
take.
More competition than you see yourself.
Well, that's how you know if they really want it. Because if you say, "Don't do this," is terrible, and they still do it, that means that they really want to do it.
Yeah, but I was kidding. I'm not a bad approach.
Jerry Seinfeld does that. He says that rarely when he watches stand-ups, if they notice him and they say, "Oh, Jerry, how'd you like my act?" He tells every comedian the same thing. He goes, honestly, it wasn't that great. I think you should consider another field of work. And his ideology is that if you can handle Jerry Seinfeld telling you suck at stand-up, but you still do then, you know, cool. If you give up, that's on you. You shouldn't be doing it anyway.
Right.
One person can break you.
Well, what a fun, shitty take.
Yeah.
What a fun way to crush
Jerry
someone.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, whenever someone sees me, like, do improv and they're a non-improv person, my first instinct is just like, you could do it too. Really, anyone could do it. It's
right.
I'm not anything.
I'm like, yeah, you can do improv. Like, definitely do improv, but also, like, write later. On.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah, we haven't talked as much about sketch other than your sketch show, but
because I started in sketch. I was in
Sketch 201.
We were in Sketch 201 together.
What? Okay.
Yeah,
well. Eric was my Sketch 101 teacher.
Yeah. Nice. I was sort of auditing the Sketch 201.
You were auditing,
We didn't like start taking sketch at the same time.
Oh, okay.
But Eric, it was fun.
Eric was my 201, improv 201 teacher.
Yeah.
Which was it was hard, but because of the curriculum was, you know, when you're first in 201, it's like a
No. Let's really critique Eric. Yeah. How did you feel?
The curriculum was fine. It was just I was an asshole.
No, never. Eric's the nicest guy. Also, Eric, I don't know if it was congrats, but I guess a thank you. You've been at this program from day one. people have come and gone to help out with the wrestling program, but you've been there since the first one, and you're nonstop. So that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Daddy Tanoi.
Thank you for
Daddy
being part of
that.
Daddy Tanoi.
Do you love that?
Can you just tweet Eric Tanoi, Daddy? He likes that. Daddy Tanoi.
Just tweet Eric Tanoi, thank you, Daddy.
Yeah, I would just if you find me, if you see me around this weekend, just be like, thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Daddy.
I hope at least one person does if that. Not everybody.
I think I'm going to actually do that right now.
It's a new hashtag DCM18
hashtag Daddy Tanoi.
But yeah, people should do sketch and make their own stuff also, which I think is just in general advice we always give everyone who comes here. But I think especially, you know, if you're a diverse person in some way, you know, find the other person who has a similar voice and make your own stuff. And
yeah.
don't feel like, oh, I can't do this for some reason. Like, you can make a YouTube video or...
I can't speak with authority on this, but I believe UCB Comedy, Don't Think Productions, is also having like a workshop series for... open to anyone, I think, but specifically encouraged for diverse people to attend.
Yeah, especially to kind of learn some of the trade that would help you to be able to join a team more easily, like learn how to PA, sound edit, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like within New York, but also I think within like all of the entertainment industry, there's not a lot of diverse people working on crews, right?
Yeah. Were you looking at Nate?
Crews. Oh,
yeah.
I'm looking at
Nate's
Russell.
Giving us a thumbs up.
Okay, didn't mess up. That seemed fairly accurate.
Yeah. What if he ran over and was like, we canceled that program?
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah, and you were saying you started out, you do have a lot of video experience.
Yeah, I had a lot of video experience going in. And it was always something that was tremendously helpful in terms of just being like, oh, well, I can do this. I can put content out there. I think also, like, because I was able to do it, it's also, you can also find that as a crutch. Because you're like, well, I'll do it later and stuff like that. Mm. But I think what it is really, like, getting a group together that wants to just to entertain each other. Like, trying to have goals outside of it should almost be secondary, because you want to just cultivate an atmosphere in which you're just like, we just want to do stuff together and entertain each other. And then if by happenstance something else happens, that's great. But once you start thinking outside of that stuff, that's when you start doing types of editing that I feel is not helpful for your creative process. Because I've done a lot of like sketch groups, and like the ones that I felt like have always been worked and successful is like, we're supporting each other. And they're people of like minds. Like, you want to find people who you genuinely enjoy their type of comedy and vice versa. And then just being able to get your asses in gear to put up a 3-minute video on YouTube, which seems very simple, but is actually kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and I think on that note, like, find people that share your taste in comedy or things like that. And I find there are people that I coach or come across, and they're like, they feel stuck in their practice group, or they feel stuck in their sketch group. And I'm like, well, get out, get a new one. Like, you should be having fun and around people you enjoy being around. You shouldn't be somewhere where you feel frustrated. I mean, you know, work, it still works, so it gets hard. I get that. But you shouldn't be like, oh, yeah, this person or that person, I don't know, we don't see eye to eye. I'm like, well, why don't you spread yourself out? Find people that are more like-minded and get out there more.
I also feel like it's also a little bit more difficult as, you know, someone who is diverse, especially when I was coming up, where it was like, who?
Yeah.
Like, who? Like the first person that would, like, first person of color I saw was Eugene Cordero, so like, I'm not gonna walk up to Eugene Cordero. It's like, hey, you want to do a web video? Like, what? Like, but it's a lot easier now. Mm-hmm. But it's still daunting to just like find just people out there. It really is like a weird, like, you really have to just like, I love comedy. I want to keep doing comedy.
Yeah, I will say, because it is hard. On that note, I didn't do anything. My first practice group was halfway through 401. 101, 201, 301, I was very like introvert, shy. I didn't want to start anything up. No one really invited me to anything, so I waited. Like, you know, don't be shy. Get out there. You know, ask people to do practice groups. Or, you know, if you're that in your head, I guess do it in your own time. But like, literally, I kind of felt like weird, or like you said, you know, it's hard when you're diverse. Or I think for me, I was just in my head in general. Like, if I were white, I probably still would have been in my head. But I just found it harder to reach out to people and collect people.
But it would have been different. I think like the aspects are slightly different. I think it is. I don't know, I'm just trying to, like, I think a lot of the things that people of color have to deal with is, I feel, a little bit deeper and a little bit more to get past.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's not only is it like I said, you're doing that check box. It's like, oh, am I not in a practice group because I'm not like them? Like, right. It's hard for me, like, even when I'm still on, like, my teams now, when they're, like, talking about music and talking about things, it's like, I don't know this. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, yeah. Like, it's, that's difficult. Like, that's hard.
Yeah, I do feel like a lot of, like, self-formed indie teams, and even, like, house-formed teams, it's, like, a lot of people who, like, seem kind of similar to each other. I don't know. I do feel like, despite being Asian, I feel like I was, like, raised culturally white for the most part or whatever. And, like, I don't know. I liked Sum 41 was the first thing that came to mind. Like, yeah, as a white person.
Sounds
thing.
White to me. Yeah. Sounds white to me.
I think we're running low on time.
Okay. You have
final thoughts or hilarious anecdotes?
You know what? If you find yourself in a scene... If you're a person of color and you find yourself in a scene with a person who's not of color and they say something kind of offensive or something that rubs you the wrong way, I think if you can, take control of it in the scene and speak through the character's voice. Like, for example, I'll never forget my one-on-one. I was practicing my matching. The person came out and they were just like brushing their hair. And it was a white gentleman, it was a Caucasian man. And I sat next to him and I was brushing my hair, just matching. And he just goes, "Shaniqua, I love your weave." And in my mind, I didn't even think about what my race was. I just was like, I'm just brushing my hair because you're brushing your hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, you know, that's not a thing. It's not an initiation. That's just a weird thing you see, I guess. So I just was like, I remember being like, first of all, this is real. Second of all, are we going to plan this beach party or not? Like, I just was like, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's
it was
great.
Like, but yeah, like, don't let that kind of stuff, I guess, chase you away. Because I've also run into people who, like, they get hit by that, and they're like, they're offended or hurt, and then they kind of want to walk away. Whereas I'm just like, no,
yeah.
Like stay there, address it, and kind of keep going.
That happened to me as well in like lower levels of like I would just be labeled an Asian person,
right.
And here I thought I was playing a white man,
right?
But I guess like just like completely like do it up, do it hard,
yeah.
Make them feel what they're gonna feel,
right?
Yeah.
Agreed.
You know what's interesting about that? I've never. Ran into like being labeled a Hispanic unless it was by my cousin who's also Hispanic and we're just jackasses.
Is that Brian Yaretta? Shout out
to Brian Yaretta, King of Pimps.
King of Pimps.
He knows how to pimp in a scene. But one of the things that like I actively did not do, like for years almost, was like speak in a Spanish accent. Mm. I was like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not going to.
Did you ever find yourself in scenes where, like, it clearly was the, like, quote-unquote correct thing to do? It's like, this
yes.
scene needs...
All
yeah.
the time.
This scene
all
is
the
set
time.
In, like, Spain. And
this
all
needs
the time.
Someone who's Spanish.
Yeah.
And then I would be like...
Not doing it.
I don't know. Mm. I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what... like, at the time, for me, it was thinking about... Oh, I don't want them to think of me as
yes,
that, which is
yeah.
such a, like, trying to control that rather than just letting myself be. Like, that was such a me being doubly corrective.
Right.
Like, now I'll do whatever the hell I want, but, like, back then, and that's the thing that, like, I think a lot of minorities, when you're, like, you feel like you're the ambassador,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you're not, you're a person. And, like, that like, makes it difficult. And so, like, sometimes you got to be like, you know what? I'm just going to do whatever I want. And however
yes.
you react is, that's just kind of how you react. That's what improv is.
Yeah. And I think take your time. Like, I was in the same, when I first started, too. Like, I literally, when I came to the theater, like, after my first day of class, or even when I signed up, I had it in my head. I'm not going to be a rapper. I'm not going to be, like, a person robbing a place. Like, I just made it, like, I purposely avoided certain characters and moves while playing because they were stereotypes. And I don't think I ever played a stereotype until Astrology Club. but I'm glad I waited, if that makes sense. It's when I was comfortable. Because like you said,
yeah.
you need to learn on your own. Like, it doesn't matter what I say. I'm just a person. I'm not the ambassador. I don't represent every one of my background. I'm going to play the way I want and make the best move.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I think on that note, we should wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Great. Well, thank you all very much for being on the Long Form Conversations podcast.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Daddy.
I forgot about that already.
No one's going to let you forget, Eric.
You've been listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy. This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.